A key question today is how far European Union leaders might go with new sanctions on Russia.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Delta Airlines, the U.S. airline offering personal on-demand entertainment at every seat on all long-haul international flights. Delta, keep climbing.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Leaders of the EU are gathering in Brussels today to talk about new ways to punish Russia for annexing a piece of Ukraine. The BBC's Susana Mendonça is in Brussels. Susana, good morning.
Good morning.
What are the leaders focusing on today?
Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, has said today that they're certainly going to be looking at imposing more sanctions upon Russia. And she's talked about suspending all G8 meetings until the political situation changes. The EU already has imposed travel bans on 21 individuals that they say are connected with the crisis in Ukraine. Certainly today they'll be looking at perhaps expanding that, and perhaps they'll be looking also at what more sanctions they could impose upon Russia.
Now, you've been reporting on this, and so have we, the extensive economic ties between Russia and Europe. Do you think the European leaders will have the stomach to impose more widespread economic sanctions?
Well, this is the key question, because if you speak to the British government, for example, David Cameron, he's talked about the need for there to be unity within the European Union. But there are a lot of countries within the European Union that are worried about what the potential impact economically could be on them if they impose sanctions that affect Russia's economy. They are very interlinked. They trade with one another. And certainly when the European Union leaders meet later on today, they'll certainly be trying to assess what the impact could be upon their own fragile economies. Of course, European Union countries have been struggling themselves, and so they will certainly be looking at what the impact could be upon them.
Now, you mentioned this. The Group of Eight meeting was set for Sochi, Russia, to be presided over by Russia's president. That's not happening, is it?
That doesn't look as though it's happening at all. I mean, there had been talk about this over the last few days, whether or not the EU certainly would step away from that. And Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, has now said that the EU will suspend all G8 meetings until the political situation changes. Of course, this is intended to apply the pressure to Russia to try and show it that they're being serious.
The BBC's Susana Mendonça in Brussels. Thank you.
Thank you.
The new Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen's briefing yesterday left market participants with the general feeling that interest rates will go up faster than they were thinking. On the one hand, that suggests the economy is getting better faster. On the other, it means interest rates might go up faster. Look at the yield on the 10-year T-note this morning, up to nearly 2.78% from 2.67% at this time yesterday. Now let's do some stock numbers. The FT 100 in London is down 1.1% now. So is the DAX in Frankfurt. After the Dow fell 0.7%, 114 points yesterday, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down this morning. And shares in the pharmaceutical company GlaxoSmithKline are down 2.2% in London now. The test trial for its anti-cancer vaccine is not going well.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix with GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com. By Digital Research, dedicated to helping businesses improve performance through strategic market research designed to discover what their customers really think. DigitalResearch.com/reasonforresearch. And by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location with a young, well-educated, agile workforce at the ready. More at investni.com.
The practice of shorting is part of the fabric of Wall Street. It's a way of betting against a company, making money when a financial instrument falls in value. For instance, there's the billion-dollar bet that hedge fund manager William Ackman made against a company called Herbalife. With that bet placed, he's been working to take the company down. Marketplace's Sabri Benishor has more on the art of selling short.
Shorting means betting against a stock. But how do you actually do that? Well, first, you have to be pretty sure that the company stock is going to go down. So what do? I borrow some of that stock.
Hey, Stace, what's up?
Hey, Sabri.
Can I borrow some of your Acme stock?
Sure. What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to sell it.
You can't do that. That's worth $1,000 a share. My grandmother gave me that.
Relax. I'm going to give it all back to you.
Okay, well, you better.
So even though I don't own that stock, I go and sell it on the market. I now have $1,000. Fast forward to tomorrow.
Sabri, where the hell is my Acme stock? I want it back.
Okay, jeez.
Now, in the meantime, like I thought, Stacy's Acme shares have plummeted. They are only worth like a dollar now. So I buy back the share for a dollar and give it back to Stacy.
Mommy's missed you, my precious.
Stacy has her stock back and I get to keep the money. That is called short selling, and people do it all the time. But there's obviously some risk if you bet wrong. Patrick Curtis runs WallStreetOasis.com. It's an online finance community.
The dangerous thing about shorting is that there's theoretically infinite loss.
If instead of going down, the stock goes up and you're on the hook for buying it so you can return it to Stacy, well, that can do some real damage.
It can wipe out your whole fund.
And shorting can be stressful for the company that people are betting against, too. They know when people are shorting them, and so does everybody else in the stock market. Damian Park is with Hedge Fund Solutions. They advise companies that this happens to.
It puts pressure on the stock price and pushes it down, and it puts pressure on the management team.
So if a ton of people are shorting you, it's kind of like wearing a scarlet letter. But, of course, shorting is a bet, and bets aren't always right. I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
All right. Now, if you want to forget, you go to a bar. You want to remember, you get caffeine, often at Starbucks. The coffee chain is upending that equation by announcing it's expanding the availability of alcohol as part of its so-called after 4 p.m. menu. Malbec, Chardonnay, beer. Not at every Starbucks, but at some. Starbucks says the harder stuff has been working in test stores near theaters and other nightlife. The only Dunkin' Donuts I could find that sells alcohol is the 31,000-square-foot one in Providence, Rhode Island. You may know the Dunkin' Donuts Center as a sports arena and concert venue. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
More and more elite students want to work for tech companies and startups, which leaves Wall Street a little bit short on recruits.
Many of them are getting excited by the opportunity to disrupt industries and create new enterprises that may create thousands of jobs.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Wall Street is fighting for talent. We'll have that story and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.